I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't do drugs.
I play video games.
News and Rumors with your hosts, John DeLuna, XB,
X-Chicken,
Weebum.
Damn right I am.
And Rob.
Here we go!
News and Rumors.
Hey everybody, it's your old friend John DeLuna. Welcome to New Soundwave for the week of the 15th, January the 15th, 2012. With me this week, XV and Rob. Guys, how are you this week?
Pretty good.
My socks are too tight.
Oh.
It's a fresh pair. They haven't stretched yet.
That's a crisis.
But there's nothing better than fresh socks on the kitchen floor, I gotta say.
So you can slip and slide, is that what you're saying?
Yes!
Fantastic. Fantastic. Okay, so this week, we're going to talk, of course, a little bit about what we're playing and what's kind of new in our own little worlds. Talk a little bit about next generation systems. So the rumors won't die, no matter what the companies say. The rumors keep coming back. So we'll talk a little bit about what each new system needs to do to be a success. Talk about new releases and all that that implies. So, guys, first, real quick, the 3DS. I got a 3DS, and now Rob has a 3DS. And real quickly, this week I spent a little bit of time playing Star Fox 64 3D, which is obviously the remake, the repolishing of the N64 title. It's really good. It is really, really good. I forgot how fun Star Fox 64 is, and it's a perfect recreation. It's a nice repolishing of it. I'm sure if you played the N64 game today, it would look pretty rough. but this one's good, and the 3D is actually really good. So this is a game where it's perfect. It's an over-the-shoulder shooter, and the 3D is perfect for that kind of genre. You know, it feels right. You don't get cross-eyed. And you don't feel like, you know, you're making yourself sterile or giving yourself eye cancer, which I'll admit on Mario 3D Land kind of felt like that after like 10 minutes of it. I was like, I don't know what I'm doing to my brain, but I don't like it. but it's really great. I don't know if you guys remember playing Star Fox 64. I assume you probably maybe. Did you guys ever play that? Oh, yeah.
Well, I did a little bit. It was a rental title for me, but, you know. I like the couple levels I was able to get through in the time I had it.
It's a good game. It's a nice simple game. So obviously it's what you would expect from Nintendo, right? So the controls are really simple. They're really intuitive. You've got accelerate, brake, the lasers, and the bomb.
Do a barrel roll
if you wish. Do a loop de loop if you wish. The one thing that I noticed this time around actually is the difficulty is a lot easier than I remembered, and I haven't had a chance to see if you can crank it up. I assume maybe after you beat it once, the new game plus whatever you get after you beat the game the first time will be much harder, and that's the way it was with Super Mario 3D Land. But the first playthrough so far of Star Fox 64 has been pretty easy, pretty not challenging. I'm not complaining either, because it's enjoyable, you know, if anything, if it's easy. And by the time you play through it once, you should have all the controls down. So you'll be able to take on something much more difficult. I like it. Two thumbs up. Definitely recommend it. Rob, so you had never played Star Fox 64. Is that right? Is that what you were saying?
No, I never have.
But now you have a chance. Because you've got a 3DS. So what do you think about it so far? I know you've knocked around the system itself a little bit.
Yeah, waiting for a game a really solid game I want to play, because my brother actually got the system, so that, you know, makes a little bit of a difference. So far, I like it. I had a little bit of a chance to mess with the various interfaces, and I actually looked at the 3D preview movie for the new Kid Icarus, which actually looked pretty nice. So I don't know how better to put it, except to say that, you know, it does have some problems. I've observed the battery life is pretty low, but in terms of just holding the system in my hands and using it, I am pretty pleased with it when I do. That's about the only impressions I've had time to form at the moment, but so far so good.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like a good piece of hardware. I'll say that. You know, it feels quality. It's got some weight to it. It's got good size to it. Probably too much size for a handheld. It's pretty big. I would say, just looking at it, it's roughly the size of a dollar bill. You know, the dimensions are slightly different, but, you know, it's a little bit taller and a little less wide. But if you picked up a dollar bill, you'd probably have a good idea of kind of the size of a 3DS, or maybe even a Hershey's bar or something like that. I don't know. Something like that.
I'm not really a good judge of what's too big for a handheld, because my DSi XL is absolutely my favorite iteration of DS hardware. So, you know, I'm not really the one to say, because that's huge compared to the 3DS. So.
Yes, that is that's as big as a like 6-pound turkey. It is. It's massive. That and there's no way that was ever like considered seriously a handheld. That was probably like a house gaming system. Like you can walk around the house with it, right? That nobody
like
really...
a Sega Nomad.
Yeah, it was like a Sega Nomad. Yeah, it's constantly.
I can't go a week without talking about that.
The Sega Nomad.
Well, the DS had such a large audience, especially in Japan, and it's essentially, you know, the large type version of the DS. So.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, when you think about it, you know. They were selling like Brain Age and those kind of games to adults and, you know, older adults. So, I mean, it makes sense to have the large print Reader's Digest version of the DS, you know, to really take advantage of that market.
And it did, in fact, come with two mini game versions of Brain Age built in. So,
well, see, that's pretty much proof of concept right there.
Yeah. Yep.
So you're saying it was like the jitterbug of Game Boys.
Yep.
Yeah.
Nice. Very nice.
That is so appropriate.
That's so awesome. Actually, I want one now. I want one.
Actually. with the jingle from the commercial too.
Yes. 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 Preferably with Miyamoto singing it. That's all I want. Yes. 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 Very nice. So yeah, you know, it's a good piece of hardware. Like I said, I would definitely recommend. At least so far, Star Fox 64, especially if you've never played that game. It's a nice game. And then, you know, at Mario, I had some kind of lukewarm to negative feelings about Mario 3D Land until the last few days when I actually started to go back and play it from, I guess, a different perspective. I tried to play it from the perspective of a collector, getting all the stars. Instead of just like blowing through the game levels, so instead of trying to like do best time through the levels, I started with the idea of I'm going to try to collect all the stars, and that actually made it much more enjoyable. It actually made the levels open up a little bit, because if you can rush through that game and kind of blow through that game, no sweat, and when you do that, the game feels. It's not very fun because it's all the old ideas kind of thrown in together for a Mario game. But if you take it from the standpoint of like completing the game, doing all the extras and stuff, it becomes much more enjoyable. So I actually like Super Mario 3D Land now. I would just say you're gonna have to like really play through the entire game and get your money's worth out of it, because if you do anything short of that, the game's gonna feel kind of shallow. And really short, actually. So, like, really short. One of the things that I did want to bring up, and I know XV even highlighted it a little bit in the notes. So playing through Star Fox 64, I went back and looked at the list of Nintendo 64 games. Nintendo 64 has a real underrated game library. Nobody really talks about the 64's game library as particularly notable or good. I think people probably lump it in maybe with the GameCube's library and just consider that run of Nintendo hardware to be kind of like a miss, you know, regrettable. But there's some really good games for the N64 that I'd like to see again, you know? You know, you've got Mario, obviously, and Mario Kart and GoldenEye, and the Zelda game, Ocarina of Time. Even Smash, Smash Brothers. Gets a lot of play.
We haven't had a Smash Brothers lately, have we?
No, they had one for Wii, which was...
Melee.
Yeah, Melee. But no, you know, they only had the one for the Wii. And there's actually a huge community for Smash.
Oh, I know. I've seen, you know, portions of it. Like, during the time I was researching the, like, homebrew channels and that kind of stuff for the Wii. I mean, there's a lot of that stuff out there on that level, too.
Yes. So, a new Smash game would be big. I mean, you know, there's because there's a whole community out there. I mean, everybody knows Perfect Dark, Shadows of the Empire. I don't know. Did either one of you guys play Shadows of the Empire for 64?
Hoth.
Yes.
That's the main thing I remember from that stage. You start in the Battle of Hoth. The most oft-repeated setting of any video game, I'm sure.
That's awesome. I hear Hoth is very Hothy in the MMO, the Old Republic. I hear it's very Hothy, by which I mean very empty. It's a bunch of white. It's accurate.
Well, that must
be
pretty easy to render.
Yeah, it's like they take a break. It's like, this week we're going to do Hoth. I'm taking a long lunch. I'll be back. Yeah, that kind of thing. I'm taking a two-hour lunch today.
Hoth, where you can't tell the difference between the ground and the fog.
Exciting gameplay.
On the Star Wars thing, too, I mean, yeah, Shadows of the Empire, pretty okay. But what really, like, hooked me was, of course, Rogue Squadron.
Yes.
If only, what was the studio, Factor 5, that was responsible for the Rogue Squadron line?
I think so, yes.
If only they were still around so we could get a remake of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a shame. That's a shame, because we're not. Hey, there was actually at least one other... Well, the N64, here's the thing. The N64 was during the time of the remake, of the prequels. So the first one, at least. Maybe the second one, too. So there was quite a bit of Star Wars flying around there. Because you had Episode 1 Racer. I don't know if that was any good. I'm going to guess it wasn't.
Well, you know, there was the Diddy Kong Racing. There was some other, like, you know, no, like, brand name racing game. I tried a lot of stuff through video game rentals. And really, while I can't remember a lot of the names of them, there wasn't anything, like, outright bad that I remember playing for the N64.
No. They were all at least worth playing, I guess. You know,
At least once.
It wasn't regrettable. And actually,
that's kind of why I, you know, I would really say the N64 library is underrated, because outside of like Superman 64, I don't think there's that many legitimately bad games made for the system.
Well, no, Castlevania also, but
was that bad?
I always forget about that one.
Oh,
that
dear. Was bad. Nice.
That was bad.
But N64 also, I had the most games for that system out of anything post NES. Yeah, I mean, there was definitely something to the N64.
Yeah, there was.
For me.
I definitely think there was. Hey, Rob, which Castlevania was that again? What was it called?
I think it was just Castlevania, usually referred to as Castlevania 64. I forget what the second one was, but that was another like expansion slash here's the game we should have made in the first place kind of game.
Gotcha. So it was very like instead of Konami, it was very Capcom like, where the second game is really the first game. You were beta testing this game for us. Is that kind of thing? Yes, very nice, very nice. Yeah, you know, actually,
one final note on the N64 library: it never had a Luigi's Mansion.
Points for you. I was going to say, too, you know, if you ask some people, the Nintendo 64 actually had two of the best wrestling games ever. It had WrestleMania 2000 and NWO Revenge, I believe. So those are considered two of the best wrestling games of all time. The best one may have been this year's WWE 12, actually, if you ask people. So, I mean, that's another little piece of trivia there. Of course, it also had all kinds of good stuff. Like, let's see. Oh, Banjo-Kazooie. I don't know if I would. I mean, that's inoffensive. It was okay. Nice.
Did I play that? I can't remember.
Probably. Probably did. Yoshi's Story. Did you play Yoshi's Story? No.
Did not.
Kirby 64. I never played Kirby 64.
I never played any Kirby, actually.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, they're okay. Yeah, I mean, they're fine.
I hear good things. It's just never got around to like any of the older ones, and now I just am programmed not to care.
If there's a platformer that isn't Mario that I always want to play, it's whenever they put out a new Rayman. Rayman's usually really, really good. So that's the only other one that I can think of as far as platformers that aren't named Mario. Oh, you must have played Cruisin' USA.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Oh,
many
yeah.
Many times.
Yes. Nice.
At the time, I thought it was a really good racing game, of course. You know, it's been blown away many, many, many times since then.
Sure. Sure. I had lunch with some coworkers Thursday at, like, a burger place. They had a Cruisin' USA cabinet.
Ooh.
Oh, yes. I think the only more common cabinet in this world still is probably Hydro Thunder. Or Pac-Man. Or Galaga, I guess. I don't know.
The the Pizza Buffet in Dixon has a two-seater Sega Daytona 500 cabinet.
Oh, okay.
In their game room. And all up right. till, like, I want to say 2004, 2005, they had a Virtua Fighter cabinet in there, too.
Terrific.
Just they terrific. Are all about that Saturn-era hardware.
Yes, they are. They are. I like them. We endorse them.
That's a Mr. Gaddy's, by the way.
Oh, awesome. Okay. So, yeah, the Mr. Gaddy's where I grew up always had, I would say, probably between 4 and 5 games and then the claw machine. But the 4 or 5 games were always, like, the current fighting games of the day. So you would have
Another Gaddy's story on that note, mm-hmm. one in Nashville, which is long since closed. But in, like, you know, 2002 or so, they had an X-Men arcade game cabinet in the restaurant.
The 6-player one, or like a 4-player version, or what was it? Was it the biggest one?
I don't remember. I remember, you know, the graphics on the thing, and, you know, watching the demo play through several times while eating. I mean, it was that game, but I don't remember how the cabinet was built.
Gotcha.
But it was just in that time period, though. It was really an unusual thing, I thought, to see.
It's a shame because it that game is now like a meme, and that cabinet is now like a meme. So they were about like 8 years ahead of the resurgence, of that side scroller, I guess, and Dazzler. Everybody should have played Dazzler. That was the biggest part of having the 6-player cabinet. Somebody gets to devote like $3 to playing Dazzler. Okay. So, we're going to go to break. When we come back, we're going to talk about new releases and then the next generation systems, the 720, the PS4. We know they're going to happen. When they happen, what do we want out of them, and what do they need to do, more importantly, to work and to win in this world? To make a go of it. So you are watching New Soundwave for the week of January 15th, 2012.
I've seen pulse cannons and gladiator droids. I've seen Beggar's Canyon and Imperial sewers. I've seen dead ends and infinite space. I've seen 360 degrees of tomorrow, and for once, live to tell about it, because I've got the ultimate fighting machine.
Crank up that buggin' buggy of yours and start carting in the Mario Kart 64 Kick-Ass Ball 500. Just pull into a participating dealer and grab an entry form. Play Mario Kart 64, answer 3 questions, and send in your answers. You can rack up a trip to the big race in Indianapolis, a go-kart, an N64 system, and other tough stuff. Stop in or write for a free entry form. Many will enter, few will win. So put the pedal to the metal and the rubber to the road. Throw that joystick in overdrive and kick-ass ball.
We believe there are 5 perpetrators.
I've never seen anything like it. There's fruit everywhere. Look what they did to my dog's feet.
Donkey Kong is back in an adventure so big, it's taking the country by storm.
In reaction, the governor has called in additional troops.
We believe one of them looks like this.
They're just not civilized.
We urge caution, and they are heavily armed with fruit.
I'd like to tell you the situation is under control, but it isn't.
This turbocharged game has better graphics, more moves, bigger bosses, huge worlds. It's so big we included an expansion pack to get it all in.
They didn't even tip me!
And now, this.
Donkey Kong 64, and you thought insanity was crazy.
Heaven help us all.
When is too much too much? To find out, we crammed everything into Super Mario World 2 Yoshi's Island. 60 more levels, massive enemies, huge Yoshi tricks, all served up with the latest graphic technology, Morph Nation.
No more.
Sure you don't have room for another little bonus level?
Uh-oh.
Super Mario World 2, only on the Super NES. Still the big one.
I couldn't get this tune out of my head till I heard these flowers, then a heartbeat, and the sound of mushrooms sprouting. It was raining cats and dogs in harmony. Then airplanes hit the high notes. Even the stars came out to play. Hey, I think I just wrote a song.
Mario Paint. Draw and make music. Only on the Super Nintendo Entertainment System.
New Soundwave.
Welcome back, everybody. Okay, first of all, let's talk about the next generation systems. The 720, the Xbox 720, the PS4. The rumors won't die. Sony claims that there will be no PS4 announcement at E3 this year. But they didn't say anything about the rest of the year. And the 720 is under constant watch as developers claim that they've got the development kits for the 720. And then we know that the Wii U is coming out as soon as they figure out how to make it work. and then we've got, of course, the current gen, which is kind of the next gen of handhelds, knocking around the market, the 3DS and the Vita. So the next generation of gaming is at hand, really, guys. So let's talk about stereotypes and sins from this current generation. So, Rob, let's start with you. So we've got the 360, we've got the PS3, and we've got the Wii. To you, what are some of the things that these systems need to overcome in the next generation that this generation kind of caused, good or bad, the stereotypes and the sins that you feel these systems have?
Well, of course, I think it's going to help Microsoft immensely if the 720 doesn't come out of the gate with an astronomical failure rate. I think that's kind of going to be the biggest thing, because it's taken them a good long time to live down the reputation of the Red Ring of Death, and they really don't want to slide back now.
How many years did it take them to actually improve the failure rate of the 360?
At least two or three, really.
Yeah. Too many?
Yeah, too many is the correct answer. Thank you, Rob.
So do you guys think when the 720 comes out that people are still going to be like scared, because they're still going to remember like those first 360s?
Yes.
Yeah, I think so too. So no matter what Microsoft did to fix the Red Ring of Death, they're still going to like have to convince people when the 720 comes out that this won't die on you in a week. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I would say so. I mean, I think we're all like programmed to be a little more wary of release day hardware these days. You know, it always comes out a little buggier or a little deader. And, you know, it takes them a little time to like kick out all the kinks in the development. You know, you buy the system 6 months later once the new stock is out with most of the major flaws worked out of it. You know, the Red Ring of Death taking 3 to 5 years to correct is a unfortunate fluke, let's say.
It's a problem.
Yeah. But I think everybody's going to be a little bit conscious of that possibility when the next Xbox comes along. Rob?
Oh, I was just going to say, I think it not just with the Red Ring of Death, but the fact that, you know, I think, especially in with the current economy, I think early adopters are getting fewer and farther between. Because if you wait 6 months, if you wait a year, you get it more stable and you get it cheaper. Of
yeah.
course, if nobody buys it, it goes away. But at the same time, it's still my favorite story to tell about this, getting a GameCube like 2 days before they marked down and included the game I bought separately. So, you know, I can't be the only one who has had this experience in my adult life, and I'm sure that between that and the failure rates, that people are just not as eager to stand in line for day one consoles.
not as many for sure, but it does still happen. So I don't think we have to worry about something going away in the first 6 months.
Right. Oh, right. Hopefully not. Yeah. To borrow a phrase from, I assume somebody in government, these systems are too big to fail, you know? So, you know, no matter what rough spots they hit in the beginning, Sony, Nintendo, Microsoft can't afford to have these fail. So they're going to work through them. Mm-hmm. And then Rob, to your point, we saw the immense drop off rate with the Vita. So in the first week they had like 80% of their sales for the month, because those few people were the only ones willing to be there on launch day. And then the next week, nobody's there. So everybody's like that. And then we saw the too big to fail kind of effect with the 3DS.
Yeah.
When they had the massive price cut a few months later, when you know they probably couldn't afford to do the price cut, but they absolutely couldn't afford to have the 3DS continue on the track it was going. So they had to make the sacrifice, a very costly sacrifice, just to get it going. By the way, Sony has said, in reference to the Vita sales, they're encouraged by the 3DS's sales as a sign that the handheld is still viable. They did not mention in the story I read that they were encouraged by the 3DS's price cut. Yes, so don't expect that either. So, guys, what about the PlayStation 4? What are some of the things that you would think Sony needs to do over and do differently this time around, so we don't get another PS3?
I think the biggest stereotype of the PS3 was the $600 price tag. Yes. If we could not do that again, that would be great. Thanks.
Also, yeah. I would. One thing I would really like, and this is probably just a personal thing, I would like a consistent position on backwards compatibility. Mm. If you're going to have it from the beginning. If you're not going to have it, don't have it from the beginning. But I probably put off buying a PS3 even longer than I otherwise would have when it dropped PS2 compatibility. That really was an annoyance to me.
Totally.
Yeah,
agree.
if you want to have the PS3, like Sony appeared to want to have the PS3 be the media hub for a household, it would only seem reasonable to maximize the compatibility with the previous generation's largest system and games library, which was the PS2.
Yeah,
keep that stuff in circulation for you, so it really will be one focal piece of hardware.
Yeah, I think they kind of butted up against the price problem there, because there was no way they could get the price down to something livable and still be putting the emotion engine in the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's when you got to make priorities, and so obviously Sony's priorities are not always in line with its consumers and reality. And then, unfortunately, if you look at the Vita, it looks like Sony isn't any closer to fairly pricing their hardware for the market.
No.
I don't know what world they're living in, but they're living in a world where $100 proprietary storage is a good idea, I guess. Still, so you know, the thing about the PS3 is, for me, it's actually the biggest stereotype for me is actually the opposite of what the PS2 had. So the one thing that Sony's going to have to convince me about is the game library. So the PS3 to me doesn't have games. It's got one or two games, but they're not Mario games. You know, they're not Zelda games, or they're not even I don't know.
Crash Bandicoot.
Yeah, Crash Bandicoot. or, you know, even like a good Sonic game. So, you know, for a while there was, for good or bad, Sega hardware was kind of leaning on Sonic. So, you know, you would at least have, at least like in the Game Gear days, they would say, well, it's got a Sonic game, so some people are going to buy it. And that was true, because people would want to play a Sonic game. PS3, I guess Uncharted, sure. But that genre, that run and jump genre, I can get that anywhere else, and I can get that from a lot of different franchises, and it'd be good, satisfying. So I don't have to have a PS3. I don't have to spend $500, $600 to get that experience. So
and
the
also,
PS. Oh, go ahead, Rob.
Oh, and I was just going to say, also, you know, Sonic, Mario, they're fairly, and even, you know, for better or worse, Master Chief, these are all very recognizable characters. I don't really know a lot about Uncharted and what the character looks like, and I think that says enough in and of itself, actually.
That's true.
Yeah, this kind of goes back to what we were talking about last week, too. Sony does not have a flagship character. Sony is, their brand is their flagship character.
Yeah.
And it doesn't work for video games.
No. It does not. Not unless they can come up with some kind of, you know, personification of Sony to star in its own game, and they have not done this.
Okay, let's talk about the Wii U now. So the Wii U, definitely coming out, I would say within the next 12 months or so. It was supposed to come out at the end of 2012. Won't be coming out, probably, I would guess, until the spring of 13, because can't get the darn thing to work. Sad trombone. If you forgot what the Wii U was like, essentially, according to Nintendo, they're quite happy to point out that it will be as powerful as a 360. So, yes, in the grand tradition of Nintendo, they will be about 5 years behind. And the controls are the gimmicks. So, yes, it's, I guess, one of the stereotypes it's going to have to overcome is gimmickry. The controls are essentially tablets. And you're going to have your basic, your traditional controls on the left and the right, but in the middle, a tablet. So, guys, what about the Wii U? I mean, what did the Wii not do that this system needs to do to overcome stereotypes and kind of get you interested again?
You know, the Wii was really good for, like, homebrew software applications. Mm-hmm. It made a great media player before I got, like, an actual media player to stream stuff off my computer to my TV. As far as games, that might help.
Yes. So it's like the PS3, I guess, really.
I don't know. I think the problem is uniquely Nintendo's in that nobody, because you can get cross-platform titles on the PS3 that work that play fine. But you know, the Wii controls are uniquely Nintendo, and most of the time, only Nintendo really knows what to do with them.
Yeah, that's pretty accurate.
Yes, yes. For me, you know what the thing is. Really, like I said, I think for me, the Wii needs to communicate to me or convince me that it is a serious gaming system, because the Wii never struck me as that. The Wii never pretended to be that, and the Wii actually died a quick and sudden death for it. I'm sure it made a lot of money for Nintendo in the first, like, in the first 2 or 3 years, but Nintendo would be
first two or three days.
That's right. But Nintendo would be crazy not to see that the 360 and the PS3 could last, if they wanted to. They could last for a decade, really, and probably be fine before it's all said and done. The Wii, no. The Wii looked terrible maybe a year after it was launched. I mean, the graphics were just ancient-looking within about a year, and they can't do that again. So they're gonna have to find a better balance between family entertainment and innovative controls and innovative interface and just good old fashioned high level gameplay, and then quality franchises. They're just going to have to do a better job of balancing.
Yeah, and one problem to make that happen is to actually get, you know, the good developers on the Nintendo payroll. Yeah. They don't have them right now. They haven't had them for a while.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. The thing is, too, they have to really overcome some stereotypes that they have created for themselves and purposefully. So the whole family thing, you know, that they make the system for families. They make the system that mom and dad can get their kid and not feel nervous about the kind of games you would get on that system. So, you know, as parents, I'm sure, you know, if they get an Xbox for their kid, they'll be worried that they're going to be playing ultra-violent games because they can. For a Wii, they don't have to worry about that because they literally cannot. There may be one or two games for the Wii that are actually violent. But that means that, yes, XV is completely right. Developers of the violent and profitable and popular games don't even bother calling Nintendo. You know, they don't even want to bother putting it on that system. What's the point? It's underpowered, and nobody who plays this game has that system.
Yeah, and the few like licensed properties that go cross platform from 360 to PlayStation to Wii, the Wii version always has a different developer behind it.
Yes.
Because it has to be developed completely separately from the ground up to accommodate the Wii's limitations, and the Wii U is going to have the same problem.
Yes, 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 yes. Totally agree. Okay, so guys, let's wrap up the show with new releases. This is going to be a this is a light week for new releases, but some interesting stuff in here. First of all, the first major update for the Old Republic, Rise of the Rakghouls, I believe. Rakghouls. It features a new flashpoint and a new operation, as well as a number of changes made throughout the entire game, balancing and all that. Hoth is still an empty pit of whiteness. Sorry, XP. Let's see, 50 level. Level 50 bracketing for PvP Warzones. When the flashpoint is Kaon under siege, the operation is Karaga's Palace. We'll have to ask JD to come on and talk a little bit more about Old Republic one of these days, because I'm sure JD is playing Old Republic.
Of course he is.
Elsewhere, PS3. Game called Amy. It's a survival horror action game, kind of like Silent Hill, and a little like the first couple of Resident Evils. Difference between Amy and those two games is Amy sucks, apparently. Metacritic, the Metacritic score is 36 and dropping. It is essentially you play a woman, female character, strong female character. And it's like Eco with zombies. You are charged with protecting a small girl named Amy, keeping her alive and kind of, you know, guiding her through a zombie infestation. Too bad it's got multiple bugs with the AI, the controls, and the visuals. Is there anything left after the AI, the controls, and the visuals?
Well, the fact that the whole game is an escort mission, which would kind of account for the low scores.
Yes,
but,
true.
But is the music any good?
I guess the music plays. It does not skip. That's all we can say. Gears.
Success!
Yes, success. Huzzah. 36. Gears 3, Phoenix Rising map pack. More maps for Gears 3. And finally, Saints Row the Third, Genki Bowl 7. Apparently, this is a mini game available on PSN, Xbox Live Arcade, XV. You have to think about it.
Well, I don't have Saints Row the Third right now, but if I ever go buy it, I will consider it.
Consider it, my friend. Consider it. Hey, that will wrap up the show for this week. Thanks everybody for watching, for listening, for Rob, for XV. I'm John. This was New Soundwave for the week of the 15th, January the 15th. We'll see you next week. Have a good one.
2-1-0. Game over.
And this is a spell I use in my garden, Your Highness. Watch.
Wonderful! It's getting bigger!
This has been New Soundwave. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Check out all our videos at tfvideo.net. New Soundwave is a Radio Free Cybertron production.